This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. People still sending in their embarrassing moments. Third grade trip to Space Center Houston. Thought we could access the controls on display. Thought it was interactive. Ran into the exhibit face first and bounced back. They said the glass was clear as hell.
Well, they keep it clean, man.
Oh, man, I still can't believe that people actually run into glass like that.
I've done it once. Sliding door in college.
How much alcohol was involved in this?
I'm sure there was some.
Okay, that's what I figured. I was like, hey, man, entirely sober, just running into glass.
It didn't break. It was just like, oh, okay, that's closed.
My dog ran into a clear glass. Actually, rest in peace to Stanley. Mm-hmm. When I brought him up here one time, he was running around and ran right into the glass.
The window?
Yeah, he ran right into it. I could tell he was embarrassed, too. Like, he did not run since.
He was like, I'm walking everywhere.
Yeah, he like, I'm going to follow you, bit dog.
That's hilarious. All right. Around the NFL, we mentioned yesterday about the Cowboys consummating a trade with the Steelers that would see George Pickens become their new, I guess, probably XY receiver, big play guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody maybe outside of Justin Jefferson has as many 20-plus yard catches, receptions, right, as he does. And Dak Prescott likes throwing those up there. So that's a matchup that looks like, at least on the field when it comes to the actual in-game type stuff, is a good pairing. But obviously, then on the other side, you look at the Steelers and you go, huh, okay, what does this mean for you? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, not much, apparently. They are still reportedly in contact with Aaron Rodgers, according to Jeremy Fowler. He said there's no hard update at this point, so we're still kind of in that holding pattern. Because, you know, Rodgers had said, I think on Pat McAfee, that he'd be willing to take $10 million and that he was dealing with some personal stuff. And it seems like the Steelers are just waiting for him. And in some ways, I was like, it feels like this is a perfect match, right? The Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, because they're used to a quarterback that is just not able to make up his mind on whether or not he was to play or not. And that was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it was.
How bad would it be if he decided not to go there?
Well, yes, dude, absolutely.
Dude, you got Mason Rudolph.
But what I'm
Will Howard.
Yeah.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. What I'm wondering, though, is like, what could he be contemplating right now? There's nothing left to contemplate. Everybody is pretty much setting their rosters. You know what the Steelers situation is at quarterback. I'm sure you know what the offer is. You just said you'd take $10 million. What could he be like? Why is he still going?
He's trying to show up late.
I don't know.
That's all it is.
I just don't know. You know what?
He's trying to show up late.
Well, that ain't great. Yeah.
Yeah, and showing up late is fine if you do not have if it's the guy who's been in the building is ultimately what I was thinking about. That's not here. Like, that's not what we're talking about here with those guys. Like, so that he would have to come in, get an understanding of the offense, hopefully develop a little bit of chemistry with the guys that you have, including obviously DK Metcalf. And the 832 said, if I was DK Metcalf, I'd be concerned. Yeah.
I would be pissed.
Although there is one option that still remains out there that I think both sides probably would like to have something right done, which is Kirk Cousins, who is playing. He's playing good soldier in Atlanta there as the backup, at least for right now. But you know he doesn't want to be there, and they're kind of holding steady there that they are willing to keep him on the roster. But there's a lot of money there that you'd be paying to a backup who I don't think you even really feel comfortable running out there after the clear decline for him. I know he was dealing with injuries last year, but still, that feels like that'd be a good backup, like a guy who could come in, be a starter caliber, at least be better than Mason Rudolph.
But wouldn't you like to know if you could go that route?
I personally would, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, no, but the Steelers are apparently in this place where they are comfortable staying there at quarterback. And I have often given Mike Tomlin, even though he's not, I imagine he's a large part of the decision-making process, but he's not the general manager.
Yeah.
I've given them a lot of, him in particular, a lot of leeway on the idea of why can Mike Tomlin have these, you know, never have a record below 500, but then not go and win? I'm like, well, clearly they're always good enough to where they can't get a quarterback.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those instances where you're doing it to yourself, man.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing it to yourself.
How so?
Well, I mean, they are basically just waiting on Aaron Rodgers here.
But are they in a position to give him a deadline? And boy, if they were, they should have done it already.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, the other thing is, like, if you do get him, this got to work.
Well,
This can't look like the Jets, man. Mm-hmm. Then otherwise, we might be talking about him getting fired.
Yeah, no, there's a lot on the line for Mike Tomlin here. No,
because
no question.
You passed up on quarterbacks in the draft. I mean, they could probably get another quarterback next year or something. But
yeah, but remarkably, there was already a lot of buzz about his job status. And you messed this up.
So if you have a bad year, another kind of meh type of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. That's what's happening, which is nothing is happening, and the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are still sitting around staring at each other from across the room trying to decide if they want to go home together.
Yeah.
We'll see what that ultimately looks like eventually once we get to maybe, I don't know, August. Maybe they'll make the decision by then. I have no idea. Some other things around the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, like the NFL is just, it's a juggernaut at this point. They make money hand over fist. They kind of do what they want. They've been out here taking blocks. Remember, we know that there's going to be a triple header on Christmas this year, which I'm sure the NBA is looking at and throwing up double birds to the NFL because that was our block. Well, there is somebody who is fighting for the little man when it comes to the NFL's overreach, and his name is Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
Yep. No, so Ted Cruz apparently has been is talking about how the NFL has been, quote, tiptoeing up to the rule that protects college and high school football and from, like, the NFL and their broadcast, which is, you know, Friday and Saturday. There's actually a law on the U.S. books that states that, you know, the NFL can infringe on these times that are historically and culturally set aside for high school football, which obviously matters a good amount here in the state of Texas, but then also college football. It's why the NFL doesn't broadcast those games on Saturdays until they get to late in the season when college football, the regular season, is over. It was actually it came up in the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1960, which gave the NFL that antitrust exemption except for this particular space. And the NFL has been trying to find ways to creep in there. Like Thanksgiving, obviously, is one of those spaces where they jump in there, and that's typically been the domain of college football. And Ted Cruz is looking to try and curtail this. I am very intrigued by this because I agree with the sentiment. I just don't know that Ted Cruz has, like, the political capital to get things done because I feel like he hasn't really pushed a lot of legislation through.
No, he hasn't, but that's neither here nor there on this. I don't think this is something like you can – can you win this – if the NFL is still, like, what can you do? Because the NFL is still playing its games on the days that are kind of like in the gray area there. Because it goes into early December. That's when all the Saturday games really kick in.
And that's exactly right.
And that's legal.
That's within this. I think the part that there's concern about is because with streaming coming in, which is why, you know, on Christmas you have, right, that the Netflix games. And you have streaming coming in because that's how they did the Black Friday game, remember? Which typically would be one of those spaces that I think is kind of exempted, right? Yeah. That Black Friday game, but they did it on streaming, and we're trying to get a little bit of clarity as, you know, a lot of these rules apply to television. How much do they apply to streaming, and can the NFL find these loopholes here? And that's going to be real interesting to see, because if the NFL does find a loophole, I don't know what I'm going to do on a Saturday if there's NFL and
Amazon
college football games going
Saturday
at the same time
in October.
Like, I have no idea what I'm going to do for my, like, I'm already sick enough starting on a Saturday at 11 a.m. and going all the way till midnight and then turn around on Saturday and going from noon.
That's a different type of grime. And when it's football season all over, then you got Saturday all day, Sunday all day.
And what Reggie's talking about, I think, is definitely at least being thought about. You know, Netflix, Amazon, streaming only on a Saturday in October. Well, then Texas is playing Oklahoma, you know, or something like that. That's where it does. Come on now.
And honestly, I do wonder, what do they benefit from this? Because I feel like a lot of the, and of course, it's going to be a Venn diagram where there's some spaces that there isn't overlap. But I think that there is a huge overlap.
Oh, yeah.
Almost a circle between college football fans and NFL
fans. Huge. Yeah, could they? I mean, this might sound crazy, but could something like that hurt the NFL just a little bit?
I don't think so.
I don't know because
like just a little,
maybe a tiny bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like because it seems like everything they've been doing, especially mm-hmm. with the NBA, mm-hmm. has been benefiting. Like it's been working. So now it seems like oh, this is college football. This ain't the NBA.
Well, here's the part that I think is what the NFL has always banked on. You know, college football, it's much more of a national sport now. We know that.
Yes.
But it is still heavy, heavy South and Southeast. Heavy. Like in on the East Coast, New York, Boston, West Coast, you know, L.A., California, they don't really watch a lot of college football.
Well, I think
as compared to other areas of the country.
And I think one of the things that has maybe has shifted that is as college football has become less of a regional sport.
Right, right.
I think we're getting more national sport, and so it makes it a little bit easier to tap in, almost like the NFL, mm-hmm. where you know where the big powers are, and you kind of know their stories as opposed to where it was, and you're like, well, this is our school out here, and USC is doing this, mm-hmm. and so we know what's happening there. I think the national level of it has happened. But to your question, Figgy, I don't know that it hurts them in the immediate because one of the things that they would be doing is selling or like generating more money on those packages, on those streaming ones. So what happens or how much does it hurt if you're getting this whole additional revenue on top and maybe the ratings aren't as great as mm-hmm. if you put all the games on a Sunday, but it's not like all those games on Sunday, we're not able to see every single one of them unless you have the Sunday ticket or unless you have, you know, Red Zone. You're still going to have those spots filled and advertisers paying for them.
Yeah, so pretty much coming out a little bit even, I mm-hmm. guess, because I felt like when they going against the NBA on Christmas, that was a good thing to the point they want to do more of it.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, if you college football a little bit, like, I don't know if it's going to have that same result as, like, going against the NBA or mm-hmm. Black Friday or something like that.
Yeah. No, but it is amazing, like, how much when you travel to those East Coast areas, those West Coast areas, how little college football is considered, you know, a go-to television event. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so maybe that, I don't know if that still exists in that same
way. Not as much, but it still does exist.
But maybe that is another instance where the mm-hmm. NFL finds another way to grab more viewership on a day where they typically wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm still, because again, I'm as we talk through this, I'm looking at this, and if they were able to find their way around this sports broadcasting law of mm-hmm. 1960, it's another instance where the NFL is like, finding a way to not get slaughtered in that old pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, just more and more and more in a way that feels like it's never ending. But there you go. Around the NFL, one more thing around the NFL. I do want to go to Thomas Patrick Brady. Edward Patrick.
This was good.
It's right in there. Yeah. Tom Brady was on the, and I forget the name of the podcast, but it's the Logan Paul podcast. I was about to go to it and I immediately forgot it. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about various things, including one of the things that has been popular in the NFL world after the draft. Why did Shedeur Sanders fall in this draft, especially because there's a relationship there? Mm-hmm. And the Raiders are one of those teams that people looked up and they were like, could that be a situation, a place where he goes? This is Tom Brady talking about the fall of Shedeur in that draft.
Elephant in the room, Shedeur Sanders. What happened, Tom? Why did he go so late in the draft?
It's a good question. I wasn't a part of any evaluation process or to
Skip Bayless
to see
says
that.
Otherwise.
No. Well, everyone's got every, you know, that's the problem with media is everyone can just say whatever the they want. I actually texted Shedeur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, like whatever happens, wherever you go, like that's your first day. Day two matters more than the draft. I was 199.
Yeah.
So who could speak on it better than me? Like what that really means. Yeah. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
Funny part for me was I wasn't involved at all. I texted Shedeur.
No,
what's funny is I forgot he was part ownership of the Raiders.
Yeah.
So that because I'm like, why would he be? I'm like, oh yeah, you are on that side of the fence.
I didn't put that one in buy or sell, but I'm still selling on that. Come on, that's Tom Brady. He's involved in everything.
Yeah. I'm sure Shedeur would take that in stride. And it seems like that was his general outlook anyways, is look, you know, wherever it is, go to work. So in that wherever being Cleveland. And I mean, there's an opportunity to win space in that. Mm-hmm. But oh my goodness, the idea that they're actually like there's a family friendship there.
Yeah.
And that he went in the fifth round. Like, they're going to do the Tom Brady thing if he does indeed succeed, right?
We're sure, going to hear about Shedeur Sanders
and why he probably going to lean into it.
Forever mm-hmm. and ever.
And by the way, his number is 12.
That is true.
That's right.
That is true. What is it? SS12? I don't know if that sounds good or as good as TB12, but we'll see what that looks like. One more. This is Tom Brady talking about the four defenders that he absolutely hated getting hit by.
Is there anyone that you were like afraid to get hit by?
Oh, a lot of guys. Ndamukong Suh, maybe. Ray Lewis was at the top. Ndamukong Suh, I didn't like getting hit by him.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt wasn't very fun to get hit by.
I figured you'd say J.J. Watt.
Yeah, Haloti Ngata. You remember him? He was about 340 pounds, played for the Ravens. He was massive. So yeah, like that's not fun.
That's a great takeaway.
No kidding.
I thought it looked great. I was like, Haloti Ngata hitting you on that. Maybe that's.
Ooh, I want to be quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
And JJ, you know, not only the size, because he was pushing 290 most of his career, but the speed. You know, he had Ngata's just a. He was a hell of a player. He's one of my favorite players, but he was just a big dude in the middle.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
Whereas JJ would be coming off that edge at that size. You know, that's no fun.
No, not at all. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'd be scared of Ray Lewis, too, man.
Oh, yeah. He mentioned Ray Lewis.
That's 100%. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite to think about is just the dudes who are, like, big and strong and also fast.
Yes.
Just like, oh, no, that's mm-hmm. not fun at all. So, yeah, shout out to Tom Brady. And I understand why he was, you know, very adamant about getting them rules in his favor. I also would not like to take those knocks. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Rockets, again, we talked about this yesterday, the idea that it seems like maybe they lean more towards the idea of standing pat with the group that they have. And if that's the case, right, something that they said was interesting to me. Do you agree with the idea that Reed is the most offensively talented player on this roster? And if so, what does that mean for the squad going forward? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.